I can't imagine that hour went by that fast.
That's quick.
My goodness. We're going to be out of here before you know it, folks. You need to come by. We're already getting a little crowded here. Folks sitting around talking, eating Bojangles. How's that Bojangles biscuit there, Rufus?
It is a little spicy. That's good. It's good.
Is that chicken?
They make a good biscuit.
Chicken biscuit.
I think it's the chicken that's spicy, not
yeah,
the biscuit.
Yeah, not the biscuit.
It's the chicken. And I'll say
chicken.
This. I'm going to save half of it and take it home. But I'm waiting for that hamburger at lunch, Nelson, if we've got time
yeah,
to have it.
It
is phenomenal.
Well, Rufus, you can take a whole biscuit home if you want to take one home. I'm sure Sammy will...
I can
spare another biscuit.
I grew up with my grandmother who, if you left one morsel on the plate, she'd say, those little starving children in China.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I've always been that way. I won't throw any food away.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm not disparaging that. I just want to make
now,
sure
when
that
I put
you
it in
are...
this yellow bag, next week I may find...
I hope you don't forget
some
it.
Kind of vermin down in
it,
there.
It will be spicy then.
Oh, man.
But you can have another biscuit if you want it.
Okay.
Don't put it in your pocket, though. So, Rufus, what have you been doing in the yard besides hovering over your tomato plants?
Moving tomatoes in and out. And I did a little dead limb pruning. That's a good time to do that because you now see what's dead and what's not.
That's right.
I cut back the dead stalks of the hydrangeas because they're...
Me too.
They're now.
Kind of here and there. Bad.
And I'm trying to decide exactly where to put another camellia to make 110.
Wow. Well, and I noticed coming in this morning, did you have a new little bridge or walkway built?
Yeah, that's a bridge to nowhere.
Yeah, that's a bridge. It really is a bridge to nowhere. I'm still trying to get an explanation out of him.
We need to put a pedestal at the end of it with a nice big blue ceramic pot.
Well, I'd say you ought to put a bench there. Well, once you walk across there, you know, it's a long bridge.
Well, it's really to take the debris up into there, but I do want to put some sort of a little cobalt blue
thank you
vase there, Nelsa. But I love my bridge. I decided one time I didn't want to walk across that riprap and break a leg.
True.
So I wanted a bridge to nowhere.
Why don't you build one across your bog out there?
Oh, my gosh. That would be an interstate job. Interstate job. That bog is at least 2 acres.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very scenic, though.
I saw a groundhog yesterday.
Oh, my.
A fox, groundhog, skunk. Let's see, what else have I seen down there?
It's like wind in the willows out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've never been down in that thing. I'm scared.
Well, that's good. I would stay out of there.
As my little nephew says, I'm scared.
You know why? Because the snakes are out.
Oh gosh, yes.
Yeah.
And there are copperheads in my neck of the woods.
Get some waders on and go when it's cold.
Yeah, definitely anywhere there's a water source. And there's some water. It used to be a pond, right?
Years ago, there was a pond there, yes.
So there's some water down in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's not
good. It's a catch basin now for all the runoff from Lake Wheeler Road. But I love my bog.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's mysterious.
Filtration system.
It is mysterious. There are politicians that have been missing for years, and I think that's where they are.
I think there's some down in there somewhere.
Filtration system. Weed them out.
That's a good idea.
It shows you, though, when I first came out there, there was a nice stand of trees in there. It took wisteria no longer than 3 years to destroy the whole stand of trees.
You wait to talk about wisteria. You have not mentioned it during the three-week period or so that it has been blooming. You have not mentioned it.
Yeah.
You did the same thing last year. Is it you block it out or something?
He enjoys it while it blooms.
I enjoy the blooming. And then it is just devastating. People just, oh. Now, Nelson mentioned a while ago, the
tree form,
and I said, oh, I don't know.
There are a couple around my neighborhood.
I'm a doubting Thomas on that, Nelson.
Well,
I think the wind blows those seeds.
No, not true.
All right, well, okay. We'll explain why not then. But are they sterile or?
Because they would be pruned off before the seed had the opportunity to mature and develop.
So you've got to prune it to keep it in a certain form.
Yeah, that's why it's like tree formed.
They're very pretty, Rufus. I think I would consider
contained.
One.
I will show you.
Well, it blooms though, and then the seeds obviously come from the bloom.
Right.
And so, what do you do? Right after it's bloomed, you better cut it off, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing about this, you know, a tree-form wisteria is you probably end up pruning it 6 to 8 times a year.
Well, that sounds like a lot of work.
It does, but then you get this gorgeous tree-form.
Yeah, there are two in my neighborhood that I could think of, and they're quite attractive, especially when they're in bloom.
I'd rather have a red bud.
There's so many different kinds. I need to ride by on Person Street, the Person Street side of the Governor's Mansion, because they have a flamethrower. Wow, that's pretty.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Yeah. So the flamethrower that Dr. Denny Warner.
I saw that yesterday.
Phil has one, a tiny one, and it is so pretty.
I love it.
When the leaves come out especially, you've got the kind of reddy, greeny, you know, kind of lime green, orangey. Got several different colors mixed in there.
And a wonderful fall color, too.
Yeah.
You know, another plant that I just love, the oak leaf hydrangea, in the fall of the year, I don't think there's anything other than a maple that has a more beautiful color of leaves.
Yeah, the oak leaf hydrangea is one of my favorites. And they... You can get kind of pink flowers. It's mainly white, but is it that they just kind of turn pink later on in the year, or are there actually pink varieties,
There are some pink varieties, but you are correct. I mean, usually, like, say, even with, like, lime lights, they kind of start off with that green cone-shaped flower head, and then they turn to a really pretty white and then cream. And then they get a little pink to them, especially if they're flowering closer to fall. Obviously, you're going to start seeing them flower in the spring, but we can have another wave in the fall. And as we get shorter days and cooler nights, the sugars come out. You kind of see that little bit of a pink cast to it. But, yes, there are pink flowering forms.
Yeah. Let me ask you about strawberry.
Yes.
This standing form hydrangea. Never gone into any strawberry like on it.
So those are the kind of cone-shaped PG, the PG hydrangeas, sun-loving hydrangeas, right? Like the limelight?
Right, but mine never turns to strawberry.
Why is that? Is that because of the genetics, or does he have it in the wrong place? He doesn't have enough sun.
I'm not sure how to answer that. If a cutting got mixed up and
a
label or something got messed up.
I will show it to you on our return.
Okay. That's a deal.
Well, that's disappointing when you don't get...
Because you've had that one now, what, 3 or 4 years?
Yes. Oh, no, maybe 5.
5, because I know that this is not the first time you have been mad at your strawberry plant. But typically, they do still start off that kind of white, but they turn, and yours isn't turning at all.
No, never.
No strawberry.
Turning. No strawberry.
When do they turn usually?
I mean,
in the fall or in the summer?
More so in the fall.
Yeah.
More
okay.
so in the fall. But I've seen some that, you know, even early summer that have like a pink cast to them as well.
Uh-huh. So. Okay.
If it doesn't this year, I'm going to spray paint it. I'm going to do an and clap.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
That's an Edith Edelman that started that at the Arboretum.
Yeah.
Spray painting the perennial border back in the 80s.
It could be quite attractive for some of the hydrangeas if you still have
I sprayed our Miscanthus that's down by the cattle gate that goes down to our ponds, and I also sprayed some of the cactus pads so that we would have color in the winter.
Cactus pads.
I sprayed them pink, a dark pink.
I don't want any of that cactus in my yard.
But they're spineless.
Oh, okay.
The opuntia.
Kind of like me.
Oh,
they're just spineless. No.
Jellyfish. Nelsa.
Sir.
The climbing hydrangea I showed you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I saw some flowers.
Is it come in any color other than the white cream?
There is a pink, I believe, schizophragma. They're probably a
close
pink.
To schizophrenic, yeah.
Let's see. I definitely have seen the pink. Let's see. But yes, there's a pink climbing hydrangea, I do believe.
Do you have any climbing roses that are still?
Yes, I'm getting ready to bloom right now.
I saw one at the Episcopal Church in Pittsburgh yesterday that was gorgeous, hanging over a wall there, and it can be quite attractive. Now, you had one up in a crepe myrtle.
Yeah, a tree, right. Well, that finally I had to quit that.
That climbing hydrangea you have has probably been there for years and years. It's huge.
It's been at least 20 years, yes.
So what's it? Is it clinging to a tree?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's up about probably 30, 35 or 40
yeah.
feet.
So it's not going to pull down
no.
a tree like not, a not Listeria.
Like, not like Listeria. No. And it's quite spectacular when it occurs. I've got one on a fence down there, too. And you come before you get to the gate. And...
Yeah, there's pink climbing hydrangeas, too. I just can't think of the name of one.
Well,
it has that pink cast to it.
Yeah.
But that one is the schizophragma.
Schizophragma. What a,
yeah.
I don't think I want one of those in my yard. Might swallow one of the seeds.
Oh, my goodness. They have pretty foliage, though. They're a little bit different than... the regular hydrangea, the climbing hydrangea, the Arbor Scandens.
See if I can hey Patrick.
Yes, sir.
Come over here. We need to talk a little bit before you get too involved in talking about. We'll let you talk about all the stuff here with us first before you talk to some customers. So I hope you're doing well, my friend.
I'm doing very good. How are you doing?
Looking very natty today in
Thank
your
you.
Dress,
you
as usual.
You too, my friend.
So we have enjoyed all of our everything on our house from the aluminum company, and that's a lot, roof and windows and doors and all of that. So it's helped. I think energy bills, I think I've noticed that. I've certainly noticed soundproofing from windows and doors. We had a pretty quiet house anyway, but I think our new window additions throughout the house have made it even quieter, and that's nice with me.
I hear that a lot as far as, like, drafts. That's one of the biggest things I hear now. You know, people focus a lot on the low E or the, you know, it keeps the heat from coming through the glass.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times people don't consider how much they're losing from wind and air coming in around the edges of the windows and You know, if you sit at a cold, you sit down at somebody's table in the wintertime and you can feel that air coming through the window beside you.
That's not a good thing.
No, you're losing a ton of energy that way. So.
Yeah. And it's not only the quality of the product, but also the installation has to be installed right.
One of the things I say all the time is if you had the best submarine window in the entire world and you had me install it on a submarine, I wouldn't get in the submarine.
All right, sit there. We're going to be back. Take a break. Be back with Patrick Day here at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina, Hamblin Road in Durham with Weekend Gardener. All right, we're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener. We have some garden show listeners, so Weekend Gardener listeners with us.
And,
so we're interrogating Rufus about various things. No, that's fine. It's all in the family. It's as laid back as you can get.
So
we are capable of carrying on several different conversations.
We have a listener here. Let's say hello to him.
Yeah. Come back over here so we can talk. Here, there, you got your own mic. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you listen to us when you're outside. Inside. Outside.
A lot of times driving in my car.
Oh, the car.
Picking up things.
So we need for you to listen while you're at home, while
gardening,
you're relaxed. We don't. When you're in the car, you can't soak it all in.
I guess I need to get a device that I can listen to you when I'm outside because
yeah,
I am outside as much as I can possibly be outside.
Yeah,
you love the garden.
Watering when it needs watering, and transplanting things and moving things around. Trimming, whatever, just anything that's outside.
And you live in the
trees.
Durham area? Or
I live near Falls Lake.
Falls Lake, okay.
Yeah, so
like
I like to plant fruit trees.
Okay, very cool.
And start pomegranates.
Nice.
Let's see, I've got some of them coming. I got a couple seedlings from New Bern.
Nice.
And Edenton. There's some pomegranate trees there that... At historic places, and then I got them going.
Good.
And some other
fig trees.
My parents have the fig trees. I just pruned them last weekend.
Okay.
A little late.
You might have cut off a couple.
Yeah.
I'm already seeing a few figs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, let me ask you about apple trees. I've had no luck in doing apple trees in my Raleigh place. You do any apple trees?
My parents have an orchard, and I rely on them for the apples, but I don't have any apple trees planted. I have peach trees planted, and what I've got to do is build a cage around it to keep the squirrels from robbing me.
Yeah,
totally.
Absolutely.
And one lesson I learned on my peach crop, the one time I had a peach tree, a lot of them fell off, and it was a wonderful crop. Mm. I didn't pick up. And it got all that old nasty yellow rot stuff.
Yeah,
on the
slippery
the trunk of the tree, and you got it. I'm sure you clean up under your peach tree.
Oh, definitely.
See, he went to.
You got to be. I can tell he's a clean guy.
Yeah,
he believes in clean. Well,
he went to. You went to William and Mary,
and University of Virginia.
So he's smart.
After that, and then I worked for the state for 32 years with Department of Health and Human Services.
Oh. Rufus worked for the state.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Were you there when Dr. Bruton was there?
Yes.
He was a dear friend of mine from Pinehurst.
Yeah, he came back twice, I believe.
Dr. Sarah Mara.
Yes. She was there when I first started, I think, in 91.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could be a bunch of people over there.
So we gotta go to the news. Thank you. But just a phone and earbuds is what I use when I'm walking around everywhere.
I'll get there. I like
you don't have a
prod him along a little bit. Thank you for joining. Thanks for listening.
I appreciate what you do every Saturday.
Thanks
it's
so
amazing
much.
That you can keep it up.
Well, you're a part of it.
Thank
All right.
you.
More of the Weekend Gardener coming up from the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Patrick, sit there. I want to talk to you some more. It's 9:33. We're back with the WPTF Weekend Gardener at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. And Rufus Edmonston, of course, with us, along with Nelson Cox. And Patrick Day from the staff here at the Aluminum Company is also here. I've been making him wait and wait and wait. We talked a little bit, but these open houses are a big deal, Patrick. You've been to a lot of them over the years, and a lot of people come in and have a lot of different questions for you. I bet you get your deluge of questions. But
this is one of our favorite times of the year. You know, we get to see all of our manufacturers reps come out and meet with us and here on site and try to help us out, you know, because we have a ton of customers coming in and they want to talk about all of our products. But it really, it's more of a celebration for us to, like, to celebrate our customers and, you know, all the business we've done. And it's really, we're just thankful to have people that, you know, come see us every year. And they, repeat customers are huge for us.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I've got a lot of them.
They come out and we're just trying to appreciate our customers and, you know, have a big get together. That's how we look at it.
It is.
And so it is a lot of fun. People come out and we answer questions and talk to you about products, windows, doors, siding, roofing, gutters, gutter guards, rail. I mean, there's just about anything you want on the outside of your house. We can help you with it. And so you come in, you have questions, and then, you know, a lot of times we'll set up a follow-up appointment. So we'll come to your house at your convenience and bring samples and measure and do a more detailed thing. But if you're just wanting to get general ideas, you know, so whatever people want, we're here for you. And that's kind of the main thing. And then
you left out skylights.
Skylight.
Oh, you got that on the brain this morning, don't
right.
you? We got to get that done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, any new products?
I mean,
since last fall?
You know, I don't know that I would say new. You know, there's updates all the time. So different colors.
Kind of an evolution.
Yeah. You know, you're going to get updates to all of the products that happen, like especially with entry doors, you get new glass packages and, you know, and they get new colors. So trending colors come around. So all of our stuff is factory painted. So, you know, we really can help people update because, I mean, believe me, if it weren't for our manufacturers telling us what those trending colors were, Patrick wouldn't know what to tell you. But, yeah, so there are updates that happen all the time. And, you know, James Hardy Color Plus siding, which is the technology with the color that's already in the siding, that's not necessarily brand new, but it's a newer thing. So people, it's nice to educate folks about that so you don't have to paint your house like a typical traditionally you have to put your siding on and paint it as soon as it's installed and then about every 7 years. Well, this siding, you put it on, it's already painted, and then you don't have to paint for 15 years. So that's
wow.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
So people are doing a lot of renovations there during the spring.
This is the busiest time of the year. Every year. It's like I usually leave my house around 7 and get home at 7, and then I've got like 2 hours worth of phone calls and emails to do all the way through, you know, it's midsummer at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, so spring, people are getting out of the house, you know. They're finally walking around outside doing some gardening. Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
And they look at the house and say, "Look, what is that rotten piece up there? I got to call Patrick."
That's true. When you're doing roofing or putting siding on the house, that your folks will discover things like that—a rotten piece here or
there—and
yes. that needs to be taken care of, obviously.
Yeah. So, and it's kind of nice when I go out to somebody's house if they're looking for whatever they're calling us for. It could be gutters or roofing. You know, a lot of times people that you know that I've done business with will say, "Can you walk around, Patrick, and see if there's anything else I need, you know, while you're here? I'd like you to check it out." So, you know, I'll walk around the house and say, "Yeah, we're going to do your roof for you, but your gutters are, you know, they're leaking here, or you got some rot on this corner, you know, we'll take care of that." So, you know, just kind of do a walk-around inspection of the house, you know, as a courtesy while I'm there.
Yeah, I don't know how many people know that there are different sizes of, I don't know if it's volume or what, of gutters. That some are bigger than others.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
and it makes a difference for water flow.
It makes a huge difference. I mean, we do always the commercial 3-inch by 4-inch downspouts. Years ago, you know, just about every house you look at was 5-inch gutters and the 2-inch by 3-inch downspouts.
Yeah.
It's evolved to now where just about, I think everybody's using the bigger 3-inch by 4-inch downspouts. which is, you know, an inch bigger in each direction, which helps get that water out of those gutters and onto the ground quicker.
And I see houses without gutters. I don't get that. I mean, is it,
unless they,
do they know something that we don't know?
The only time I think it's okay is if you've got a big, like, heel. It's falling off all, like, a back of a house, and you've got, like, rocks around. You've seen where people have rocks, decorative rocks around the house, so it's falling off and hitting some rocks and going on down the hill.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay, right, if it's not splashing up on the house and you got a foundation where it's not going to. But most of the time when you see a house with no gutters, that's usually an issue because it splash up and stuff is where – the water hits the ground. You've seen the little trench around the house, and you know, water splashes up on doors or windows or siding, and then you get deterioration, and then you call me.
That's right. Patrick, thanks for the education. We always enjoy talking to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks for sitting with us for a few minutes.
Anytime. It's always good to see you.
All right. That's Patrick Day. You can contact him. Come by today and talk to Patrick or any of the other knowledgeable people at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. You're listening to the Weekend Gardener now in our 40th year. Amazing, huh? Yeah, we're still plugging along. More coming up here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. It's 9:39. We're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here. Rufus Edmonston is with us. Jeff Hamlin is engineering today. Chip Winston. Chip, put on the headphones over there and tell us about your yard this morning, because I know you've got things going on. We can talk about the emergence of your all-important zoysia lawn.
Here I've got emerald zoysia in the front and zeon in the back. And there's almost no difference. The zeon is a little more cold tolerant and a little more shade tolerant.
You've had some trees cut down, so it's even happier now.
Over the years, I have.
Yeah.
But it's gotten to where it's acclimatized itself in the front. Fairway Green says there's no way in the world I should have the kind of grass I have in the front yard. But it's just adapted.
Because it's
to
shady.
It.
It's too shady in the front?
It gets about 4 hours a day, which is not enough, really. But it looks.
And that's emerald.
That's emerald.
And that's an old variety.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I even got some Meyer toward the front of my yard. John Harris told me what that was when I bought the house.
Oh, my gosh. John Harris.
So, you know, Meyer had a thick blade, and it doesn't tolerate things as well as, say, emerald does. But each one, that one they come out with is better than the last one.
Yeah.
Zeon's a big improvement.
Well, you're right.
The last couple of rains have really helped my yard.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's certainly an anomaly. You don't hear that very often because people are constantly trying to get the. You got to have 6 hours at least, is what folks on this show.
With Bermuda, you definitely have to have 8 hours.
Yeah. Bermuda.
I experimented with Bermuda about 10 years ago, and it lasted about a month. It was getting about 6 hours a day. It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It just died.
And it's very aggressive if it's happy, and it there are a lot of other problems with Bermuda, but there's some really nice varieties. I know NC State has been working on grass a lot. They have quite a turf program, but
we have Champion Bermuda on our greens at Cal Country Club.
Yeah,
it's great putting service.
Yeah, it no doubt about it. Do you have a putting green in your backyard?
I used to years ago. Yeah, I decided to put azaleas in where the sand trap was.
Oh, you had a sand trap?
I had a sand trap.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they look really good in the sand trap. They adapted very nicely. I just got tired of trying to maintain it.
Yeah. Well, what did you have? What kind of grass did you have?
I had zoysia.
Okay. So, well, I mean, you can cut that pretty short.
Yeah. It's not much of a putting surface, though. But.
Yeah, I was about to say it was
the
little,
sand trap
was more resistance.
I was more interested in the sand trap.
Trying to hit over it or trying to hit in it?
Hit out of it.
Oh,
trying to correct the worst part of my game.
How often did you have to replace the sand?
I just raked it back in.
Oh, okay. I think what would happen to Chip if he saw a little bit of clover come in his yard?
I don't know.
I'd be panicking.
Oh yeah.
You don't like weeds? I don't mind weeds. But you really don't, and that's the point with warm season grasses.
You always know where the weeds are in the winter.
Yeah. You don't if you make it happy. And I don't remember which gardener, Ann or Irv or whoever, said that, Tony Avent, Nelsa, that if you make that warm season grass happy, then it's going to choke out weeds. And that's so true. Fescue is not going to do that.
No.
So
I had fescue in my backyard for a long time. I got tired of having to redo it every fall.
So did you cut down trees before you put the zoysia, install the zoysia?
I've cut down trees over the years in front and back.
Yeah. And have you noticed a difference in
everything
the quality
grows
of the zoysia?
Everything better. We still have a lot of shade. I mean, we have a lot of hellebores in the shade. That's a great plant, I tell you. You get one.
It is.
It covers the whole yard.
It is. It's cost effective.
Don't tell me.
It's cost effective, isn't it, Rufus?
Oh, gosh. I have thousands.
I know, but they are pretty.
If you don't dare put them any place you don't want. I fight all the time in the rock garden.
Well, I don't think you have to put them anywhere you don't want,
well,
because they'll end up there anyway.
I did, yeah, and they get in there. But
they'll grow a deep shade. It's amazing.
Have you had some seedlings to have a pink to them?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. If we're blooming,
you pick one of those seedlings you like and call it Rufus's String. Rufus's Strange Pink.
Yeah, there's got to be something out there, a new member of the family somewhere that through the evolution of all of yours.
Some beautiful pinks. Yeah, I just can't remember which they were. They're still blooming a little bit. By the time we have our get together, I'm afraid they won't be able to see the color.
But I think this year has been the prettiest year I can remember for a while, with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
We just do you feel the same way about your landscape, Rufus?
I have never seen anything that has. Nelson saw that. I still have the Japonica camellias. I think they're both Professor Sargent. One is a large bloom, and of course, they're tightly put together. They normally don't bloom this long. Mine don't.
Yeah. Well, and we're well into April, so
yeah.
It's going on a good 4 months of color off of a Camellia japonica, so that's good.
Right.
They're still blooming at the coast very well, as you know. But I think it's been a great year for azaleas and our southern indica azaleas, which are the Formosa and George Tabor and Gigi Gerbing. And
yeah, they had good luck at the Azalea Festival this year. You know, for so many years, we've had them blooming way too early.
Yeah, and I think we've been cool enough for a stretch of period and just enough warmth to get those buds up. But, it's been – I feel like azaleas flower for 2 weeks, but I feel like this spring we've had 3-4 weeks of nice azalea color. Just gorgeous, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, nothing in my mind beats that old Formosa.
Yep, the southern indica types are just stunning.
Yeah, because they get so large for one thing.
There are some
color
in my place that are, I know this sounds wacky, but they're 100 years old.
I believe you. I do.
Because the lady there, I asked her about them when I first came there in 1989, and she said those were that big when I was a little girl and had been there. And she lived to be 90-some, so I know. I did not realize that camellias can live 100 years.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Yeah.
Are they blooming longer this year than they have in the past?
I think they are. Yes, I think they are for sure.
Yeah, and maybe it's because it just hasn't, we haven't had the heat for as long a periods. We've had a lot of cool.
And we've had good cool.
Yeah,
And some cold too.
Yes,
but yeah,
fine with me.
It's been great. Yeah.
I just I'm more of a. I mean, I love the spring except for the pine pollen.
Right.
But I'm more of a fall and winter person. I just like the winter landscape.
Yeah.
a lot, but it is gorgeous right now.
It's really
everywhere
pretty.
You look. It's just, well, Jeb, what's blooming in your yard that you really like?
Well, we have a lot of those same azaleas you're talking about.
Yeah.
For most of one of them's about 10 feet tall. I like to try to trim them. I don't know how the hell I
prune
it. Get it cut down enough.
I mean, they're very resilient. I mean, you can prune them hard. I've seen people that cut them back pretty far.
Yeah. It takes a while for them to get back to blooming.
It does. I typically would prefer people not prune them more than a third to even halfway back.
And then don't give them a lot of nitrogen to make them grow back fast, because would you?
No, not necessarily. I mean, something that has well-rooted itself and has some good age, and you haven't let, like hardwood leaves and debris build up so dense inside the canopy, then chances are it's going to continue to stay healthy and vigorous, and so it probably doesn't need necessarily fertilizer. I feel like it's more... the newer plants that you're purchasing in the first, 5 to 10 years, trying to supplement to get it to be adaptive to the soil that you have put it into is when I would use like a Holly Tone type fertilizer.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the blooms. It would you get more green than blooms, wouldn't you, if you put a lot of nitrogen on there?
Yeah, sometimes too much nitrogen could make the buds abort and not flourish. So I mean, nitrogen is to push growth, again, doing small amounts or doses is more preferred than like a 10-10-10. I would not use a 10-10-10. I mean, it's great for agriculture or making your fescue jump or whatever, but
that's all we knew on the farm. 10-10-10.
That's right. Tobacco and corn, it'll make them. Tobacco.
We didn't have as much money in Nash County. It was 888. No, that's not true. We had all the tobacco. We had a lot of money in Nash County when I was growing up.
Ann used to recommend, and I did it one time, cottonseed meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, for camellias.
I put it. That's the only kind of adjunct.
That and blueberries.
Blueberry. Yep. Yeah. Cottonseed meal.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, this is completely off the subject, but you were talking about all your little roots down to the beach. Those peanuts were great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
And I can tell you more about that.
Yeah. Okay, good.
All right.
Because they weren't supposed to have fields down there for peanuts. That's up north. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. We're the Aluminum Company of North Carolina in Durham.